This is take two of Mr. Wittenberg in West Union. And Mr. Wittenberg, you were telling me about the thrashing machine. And we got interrupted in the last day.
And I was just up explaining how people stored their excess grain.
Yes, sir.
Until the thrasher came to thrash it.
Mm-hmm.
We would go there and we would thrash these grain for this particular customer. My father would take his 1/10. Sometime we had, if we wasn't loaded with it, if we had a load of it, sometime we'd have a load before we finished the day. What?
Right.
See, sometimes we'd get the thrashes, maybe we'd thrash from sunrise to 10 o'clock at night.
Hmm.
If we had a sufficient light.
Right.
And so we'd gather quite a bit of toll. We called toll. He would bag it up and set it aside.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, all those places where we had to leave it because we didn't have facilities at that point to carry it home, it was my job to take our two horse wagon and go to those places, pick it up. That was assigned to me to do and bring that home.
I see. That was your job.
That was my job.
That was very interesting, Mr. Wittenberg.
And
go ahead.
You any other question you want to ask about that? That's the end of that. I thought you said that.
Okay, well, I didn't know
why. You ready to take a break or something?
Yesterday, we talked about what your parents did for a living, and we talked about the thrashing machine and everything. Let's go to your grandparents now. What did your... What did your father's father do?
Yeah. I was fixing to go to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So far as I know, after he was freed, that he followed that same occupation as a miller.
Jonas Wittenberg continued to be a miller.
Continued, yeah.
Uh-huh.
He did that for the man who owned the mill.
I see.
Yeah, that is a job.
Uh-huh.
And it's just an occupation.
And
as far as I can.
And what about Sarah McKinney, his wife? Did she took care of the his wife took care of the home and that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Similar to my mother.
Right. And now your grandfather on your mother's side, Jerry Rose, what did he do for a living?
Well, until he got up into his, during slavery, he wasn't going to have to remember to tell you about the railroad.
Railroad, yes, sir.
And he went back there, bought him a little farm, and they farmed.
And where was this, back there?
In Cherokee County.
In Cherokee County.
In there, okay.
And he continued to farm near Gadsden.
He continued for during his lifetime.
Okay.
And he preached, too.
Oh, he was a preacher.
Yeah, he was both. He was a minister. My mother's daddy was a minister, too.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he was a preacher.
Where was he in, which church?
I don't know the name. Some of the Baptist churches there in Cherokee
County. But it was Baptist.
Yeah, well, Baptist churches. He was a Baptist preacher.
For goodness sake. Now, did your family that farmed all owned their own land? Is that right? You didn't share crop or rent?
Didn't share crop.
Uh-huh.
They owned their own farm animals and farm equipment, the things that they took the farm. And they rented the land. They paid a share of the crop as rent.
I see. So they did pay it. They did pay a share of the crop.
Share of the crop.
Uh-huh.
They paid 1/4 of a cotton.
Uh-huh.
You know, 1/4 of whatever the cotton was selling for. So if it sold for $100, then $25 that went to the landowner. And $75 came to the family.
Oh, well, I see.
Rent.
As rent.
As rent.
As rent. But
yeah,
they consider it rent now.
And the corn.
Mm-hmm.
One, 1/4, 2.
Mm-hmm.
They just put an evaluation on the grain and things like that. We didn't sell it and get actually cash for it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the going price of grain, bushel at that time,
mm-hmm,
they just kind of estimated how much it was and put the dollar value on it. And that's the way they divided that. Mm-hmm. That was part of paying for the rent.
Did you or any of your older relatives ever leave the area to find work? Did you ever go somewhere else to get work?
My oldest brother.
Your oldest brother did?
Daniel.
Uh-huh. Where did he go?
Now, I just don't remember the year, but after he... Yes, I can give you approximate year.
Uh-huh.
He was World War I veteran.
Uh-huh. See,
he served in that war. See. He worked with, his job was working with the medical corps.
Oh, he was in the medical corps.
Uh-huh. And when he came home, I imagine he stayed around about a year.
Uh-huh.
When he left, he went to Virginia, worked in coal mines.
In Virginia?
Mm-hmm. Did that for a while.
Do you remember where in Virginia? What town?
Right now, I can't.
That's okay. Okay.
Went up there and worked a while. And he came back, and he didn't come back and live in the community. In our Reedy Fork community in Greenville County.
Mm-hmm.
He came back and set up his residence in Cherokee County.
Oh.
And married there. He didn't marry until after all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So he was getting up approximately about the age I was when I got married.
Mm-hmm.
He was sitting there around 40 years old.
Oh, see? I see.
And he has three children.
Uh-huh.
And oh, I'm trying to think of that good wife's name.
Well, he may come to you later. Did any other relatives move?
No.
Was he the only one?
No, all the others. My other brother, Sylvester.
Uh-huh.
He, after he came out, now they both were in World War I.
Yeah.
After he came out, he came back home, established his residence in at home.
Mm-hmm.
And he got married to Lonnie Mae Burton.
I see.
See.
Sylvester married Lonnie Mae Burton.
Lonnie Mae Burton, B-U-R-T-O-N.
Uh-huh.
And they had five children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, we were talking, you mentioned your two brothers. Both of your brothers went into World War I. Did anybody else in the did anyone else in the family go into the World War besides
those
two?
No, two.
Now, what were they? Were they in the Army?
They both were in the Army. What? Just the plain Army.
Uh-huh.
You see, but they have their different departments in there.
Uh-huh. Did they?
And Sylvester.
Uh-huh.
He was lucky.
Uh-huh.
He didn't get to, he went in later, after Daniel.
Uh-huh.
And the war closed before he had to go overseas. He never did get overseas.
Oh, good.
He served all his time in the States.
Uh-huh. Where in the States was he stationed?
He was discharged from I can't think of the name of it.
That's okay.
Station. But it was in Missouri.
In Missouri?
Yeah. I know it was in Missouri, but some of armed posts in Missouri.
Fort Leavenworth?
Huh?
Fort Leavenworth? Missouri?
Yeah. You brought it to me.
Now, did they both enlist?
No,
they were drafted. Oh, they were conscripted back then.
They had the same system that you used in World War II.
Right.
You registered and they called.
Right. Now, Daniel, you said, went in first.
Yeah.
Now, where did Daniel go overseas?
He's the one I was telling you about that went overseas and came back, stayed home about a year and went into the coal mine.
Right, right.
And
but I just trying to...
We covered him already.
Well, we didn't cover his Army career.
Huh?
We didn't cover where he went into the service. Where did he go in World War I? Where in Europe did he go?
Wadsworth.
And where did
Camp Wadsworth, which was stationed at Spartanburg.
Did he go, and where did he go when he went overseas?
Huh?
Where did he go when he went overseas?
He was in that European group that lives.
Somewhere in Europe. European. France, maybe?
Or, yeah.
Uh-huh. Did you feel that the service affected their lives?
Somewhat.
Uh-huh.
They changed when they came back.
They did?
Yeah, changed personality. You know, you understand?
Their personalities were different.
Yeah. Changed. That conscription in the army.
Uh-huh.
Was somewhat contrary to their home training.
Right.
You see, they weren't bad. I mean, they didn't give any problems.
Uh-huh.
But the thing that they were accustomed to be doing, to have the freedom, you know.
Uh-huh.
And on Sundays, go to church somewhere and all like that. The time they you couldn't go to church or have to go to chapel or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they missed so much of that life.
Yeah, so their life was really different in the army, and they came back
different.
Very much.
Yeah, contrast there. It took some effect on them, but when they came back, they came back to their early training.
Well, that's
good. They both were very faithful.
They turned right around.
Turned right around and exercised because they were very active. In church work, just like they went in there and they became, took up certain types of offices in the church work. Like
right. When they were in the Army, what particular branch of the Army, what did they do in the Army? Do you remember?
Well, he was with the, I told you the other one was with what we call the medical corps.
Oh yeah, Sylvester.
And then Sylvester was in the infantry.
Okay, Daniel was with the medical corps and Sylvester was with...
within the Army. Uh-huh. I'm talking about, you're talking about division now.
Yeah, yeah.
And Sylvester supported, he was in the infantry.
In the infantry, okay.
And he was discharged with grade sergeant.
Oh, he was a sergeant when he came in. Did any of the family work for the railroad? Oh, well, your grandfather did, but besides him, no one else did? Okay. Back then, what jobs were open to black men? What were some of the jobs you could do?
Well, you know,
I had just asked you what jobs were open to black men.
Nothing but farm work.
Uh-huh.
As I said, now, some of their... landowners, his family would have a certain portion of his plantation as their particular personal property.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he would hire black to work his farm.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he'd give him $15 a month, food, mm-hmm. and a place to stay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Now, you said that most only farm work, but there were other things, weren't there, like mills or blacksmiths?
Forget about it.
Forget about it? Just mostly farm work?
Man, they went with a very few during those years. They went with a very few of textile mills and things like that, and jobs like that.
Oh, I didn't mean textile mills. I was talking about grain mills and that kind of work.
Oh, well, and I
didn't. Grandfather's
one man, mill. One man.
Yeah.
Type of mill they had back then.
Yeah, it didn't take
one
person.
One man.
So mostly the jobs open to black men was farming.
Farming.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and sometimes it's like they might kind of might be putting in a road or something like that. And
uh-huh.
They let out certain portions of it to contracts, you know.
Yeah.
Most of them did, but they convicts, prisoners.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But sometimes, you know, it needed to be done and they didn't have enough prisoners.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then they had to pay somebody, just like they did our contracts, like they do now.
Mm-hmm.
But they had men back then that had those type of jobs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was a pick and shovel and, you know.
That kind of work.
That kind of work, you know, hand
Manual labor.
Yeah, manual labor, just a few muscles,
mm-hmm.
see. And black men could get jobs like that, see.
Right.
But they had, what textile, what industry
mm-hmm.
that they had, not this particular textile,
mm-hmm.
but what industry that they had at that time, no black person would work in.
Oh, I see. They didn't want to work
there. They didn't, maybe they might have some sort of some little youngster with teenagers, mm-hmm. something like that, hanging around there. But those adult men with responsibility couldn't get no job there.
Mm. What about black women? What kinds of work did they do?
Forget about it, nothing but cook and wash and tend to people like for babies.
Mm-hmm. Nursemaids.
So mm-hmm. all of what black women, kind of job a black woman could do,
right.
a maid or something like that.
Did black young people have any way of earning money?
Nothing but what their parents had for them.
Okay. Where did your family shop when you were a boy?
Well, they shopped in a little place called Simpsonville, another one, Piedmont, because
mm-hmm.
we lived about halfway between those two cities, two little towns,
mm-hmm.
and Greenville.
Mm-hmm.
See, Greenville was further away. Greenville was 12 miles.
Mm-hmm.
It was 6 miles to Simpsonville from where we lived.
Mm-hmm.
It was 8 miles to Piedmont.
What kind of shops did you shop in Simpsonville?
Your general stores.
Uh-huh.
You know, one man, he said you could pay everything you could buy from a pack of salt I'm not talking about the little grab joints I caught. We like to, even what they call peas, you put that,
yes.
you know. But now they were small units, like stoves they were. They were little small units of stove. Maybe a little place would be about the size of two of these rooms.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, somewhere on the side of the road in the community.
Mm-hmm. When you shopped in those stores in those two little towns, did you shop for, did your family use cash or credit?
Cash.
They paid cash.
Yeah.
Okay. And were the stores usually owned by whites?
Always.
Always. Okay. Now, did your family usually buy their own clothing? Did you buy or make your own clothing?
Most of our clothing that we wore were made in the home.
Your mother?
Other than our dress store.
Uh-huh.
And of course, like our dress shirts and blouses and things, she made them.
Oh.
She made up underclothes not just plain the cloth,
mm-hmm.
what they call outing there.
Mm-hmm.
It was finished on one side, and the other side is like a rug, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It would be, that's what she'd make her underclothes out of.
And this was your mom?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what we wore in wintertime.
Uh-huh.
In the summertime, she'd make it out of the little cloth they called back there. They called it bleaching. It's just a white. It had different colors, but
mm-hmm.
she, for undercoat, she always was white.
I see.
See.
So what would you buy then? Just some dress clothes and maybe shoes would be the only thing you would buy?
And,
oh, socks.
And,
yeah.
You know.
That kind.
And like neckties or. You know, other paraphernalia that go with the dress.
Accessories, I guess we call them today. That's the way you accessorize your clothes.
That's the big word they got there.
Right, right. did you buy any food in the stores at
big
all?
One.
You raised almost all your food, didn't
yes.
you?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
We would, for our meat, fresh.
Mm-hmm.
That was our, you know, we used hog meat,
mm-hmm.
the pork.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go out in our family about four, not less than three,
mm-hmm.
hogs that dress out about 450 pounds each.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And then every year, he'd have two, we had four cows.
Mm.
All the little male calves.
Mm-hmm.
We kept them, and about twice a year, we killed one of them. That was our beef.
Mm-hmm.
And my father, he was a carpenter, and he wasn't employed just all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In his slack time, he would order fish from Charleston.
Oh.
Would come in big, in a barrel. Wooden barrels packed with salt water,
mm-hmm.
see, kind of salt that they had on the fish. I don't know what it was. but it had a salty taste. I didn't say something wrong with it, but.
Mm-hmm.
And done, he boiled maybe a couple of baths of those.
Mm-hmm.
You see. And he had an extra, we had four farm animals. We had one. He had a little horse. And the four was mule.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a little horse. And the one horse wag.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever he would do that, he would, maybe they would ship it into Simpsonville.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd go over there and get it. And he had a route that he would go around in the community around and sell those fish.
Oh.
And most of the time, it was the mullets.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I ever knew.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot what I was getting. And they would be, you take a mullet fish about that long. See, you
mm-hmm. can, not that long. You're talking about 6 inches, so 8 inches?
Eight, maybe 10 inches.
Okay.
They'd have a little bulrush. You know what a bulrush is?
Yes, I do.
You know, you've got a prick on the end of it.
Right.
See. And they would take about four of those and put them through the gills, you know. That's the way they'd pack them in this bag. Oh,
they would string them that way.
String them up.
Uh-huh. See,
they'd pack them that way in salt.
Oh, uh-huh.
See. And so when my daddy would open that barrel to see, uh-huh. and take those fish, and I said, we'll come to your house. See.
Uh-huh.
We would, according to the size of your family, as to how many of those strings did you buy.
I see.
See. And they were 35 cents a string.
Oh, that's how much he charged, 35 cents for?
For each string.
Yes, sir.
See. And if you had, say, three or four people in the family, you get one to be sufficient.
Uh-huh. Right.
But if you had 10, one wouldn't go nowhere.
No. You'd have to have a couple or three.
Yeah. Nah, he'd do that.
And he would sell these fish after he ordered.
Fish to people that they both good. White and black.
Oh, did he sold them to white people as well?
He was a person that he related to both sides.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
He had that type of diplomacy in him.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried to have it in me.
Now, when you were buying any food, then at the store, would it be strictly staples?
Strictly staple food.
What, maybe it's salt and sugar, or
salt and sugar and flour? Sometimes we want a little salt.
Mm-hmm.
You see, some years.
Coffee, maybe.
Huh?
Coffee.
Yeah, coffee. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sorry, you were
talking. Just the staple stuff.
You yeah. Know. You were saying some years you ran short on flour?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe just like now.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
Like a drought or something would hit it. You see? And if it hit us, it hit everybody else.
Right.
And we didn't get much thrashing to do. Because there wasn't nothing to thrash.
Right. That's right. So you raised just about everything else you needed
everything
then.
Everything we ate.
Mm-hmm. What about furniture? What kinds of furniture did you have in your
house? Did you see that little bed in the iron bed?
Yes, I did. Is that an old bed? Have you had that a long time?
It came down through my family. They say I was born in it.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't take $1 million for it. Yeah.
You were born in that iron bed?
They said my mother was lying on that iron bed when I came in the world.
For goodness sake, so that's really that's an antique then. That's what we call antiques today. We got names for everything.
and you see, here where I am, 88 and 10, 11 months old.
Right.
That's how old that bed's old tonight.
They had the bed much longer than that before you were born?
I don't know how
long
it was.
You just know you were born in it.
When I came here.
Right. Okay. I'll tell Mr. Megan's. I'll tell Mr. Meganson about you. Tell him about your bed when he comes to see you. Okay? Now, did you buy all your furniture, or did someone in the family make some of it?
Well, my daddy made some of it and bought some.
Uh-huh.
Well, what we had.
What pieces would he have made?
Huh?
What would some of the pieces be that he would have made?
Well, like rocking chairs and other type. These little cane bottom chairs. Things like that.
Uh-huh. And what would he have bought? Well, the things like the bed.
Yeah, uh-huh. Bed.
Uh-huh.
Of that particular little wooden bed.
Uh-huh. And so he would have bought things like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any, besides the that bed, do you have any other furniture in the house?
Well, we have. They call them bureaus, what we call a dresser.
Uh-huh. And they go back?
Yeah, they bought those, you know, that mirror and so.
And you still have those?
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't have any of those?
I have one mirror.
Oh, you have one mirror. Okay.
You want to see it?
Sure. Mr. Wittenberg, you told me about the bed.
Yeah.
You said you were born in that
mm-hmm.
in 1901. So it's a pretty old bed, you say, because they'd had it before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you took me around the house and showed me a whatnot. I would like for you to tell to the tape about the whatnot.
Well,
who made
the
that?
The only thing I can tell you, as far as I can go back.
Okay.
Is because it's McKinley Daniel.
Okay.
Made it.
Uh-huh.
And sometime before my wife's mother was born.
Oh, so that
Harry
goes...
Harry Daniel, her name was.
Okay.
Harry Daniel Cuter.
Okay.
See?
Oh, I have her name down as Carrie Ross.
No, not my wife.
Oh, that's your mother.
Hmm?
Oh, you're talking about... Oh,
uh-huh.
I don't have that tree down at all. I'm sorry, I got mixed up. Whoops. Yeah, what happened was I was looking at that Carrie Ross and mixed up.
Yeah,
we're talking about your wife's family
right.
now.
See, her mother's name was Ross.
Uh-huh.
I remember Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's name was
Carrie. That's where the confusion was. Okay, so the whatnot was made by McKinley Daniel.
McKinley Daniel.
Your wife's father,
my father's great-grandfather.
Great-grandfather made it. And you were describing it to me, and you said that it was made with a...
iron rods and spools from thread.
Iron rods and spools from
thread.
Okay.
So they constituted the leg part, the frame.
Right, the frame part.
And of course it had this sort of oak wood.
Mm-hmm.
It's made in a triangular shape.
That's right, it was triangular. Okay. And you also, told me that was passed, down to...
My wife's son.
Right. Mm-hmm.
To her mother.
Mm-hmm.
To her daughter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then you told me about a mirror in that same bedroom.
A mirror of one of the bureaus
uh-huh.
we call dressers.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
That my father had. In our house.
So that's an old piece too. And the last old piece was that you showed me was a picture that your father bought. Tell me about that.
Oh, what are you talking about? The baptism.
The baptism of Christ.
I said he bought that in 1913.
And you told me you remembered that.
I was 13 years old at that time.
Well, he bought it in 1913. You were born in 1901. You were around 12.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, around 12
years
old.
Yeah, you were about 12 years. So you would have remembered.
He might have bought it after my birthday that year. I don't know what time of year it was.
You don't, but you remember him bringing it home?
Yeah, I remember in 1913 he
uh-huh.
brought it home.
And it's the baptism of Christ in the Jordan River.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But that was sort of special.
Huh?
A special time for him to bring that picture home. You seem to like that picture a lot.
Yes, before my mother passed.
Uh-huh.
I told her, I said, now, mother, mama, I call her mama.
Uh-huh.
I said, mama, I said, when you go away, there's one thing here you want, I want. I said, I want that picture.
So you wanted her to leave you that, huh? Do you have any kinds of oak baskets or tools or quilts or anything else from the community or your family that you still have? You're indicating a tool to me now.
This is
uh-huh.
called a hand plane.
This is a hand plane.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And this was this belonged to your family?
Oh, I tell you, you see, you didn't have the finishing plant for lumber.
Uh-huh.
like to have now.
Uh-huh.
It just came straight from the sawmill. So.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you wanted to make something fancy, you wanted to dress it down, you know, and get it smooth.
Right.
This is what they did it with.
With this hand plane.
They have the wood banking. They put that piece of timber on the wood banking, mm-hmm. and screw it,
mm-hmm.
and they get there. Take this. Until you can rub your hand across
right.
it. It's almost like rubbing your hand on the silk.
Mm.
This was my daddy's.
That's what I was going to ask you. This was your father's, and he was a carpenter. And you still have
this
it.
This is one of his main...
That was one of his main tools?
That he used. Now, he had several of these. I just got one.
You just have the one.
Other brothers got it, but mm-hmm. we divided the tools among the brothers. See?
Right. Good idea.
And this, I got this.
Mm-hmm. What else did you get?
You can see it. No, you can't see it good.
Just tell me.
I tell you where to go, right down the steps.
Right down the steps?
You see an iron, old iron implement sitting right there, right beyond where
that's okay, just a minute.
That particular piece of carpentry tool.
Yes.
It's called a house jack.
A house jack?
House jack.
Uh-huh. It seems to be all made of metal, is that right?
Uh-huh.
It's iron?
Made out of cast iron.
Uh-huh.
I got those from my dad.
Uh-huh.
Repertoire of tubes. Got one there and I got another one down there in the old barn.
Mm-hmm.
I got a pad. Yeah.